Well, when I twerk.
Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It's time for another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about your favorite movies on both Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
And we did it! We made it! We are in 2021! We survived!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
I swear to God, 2020 was like the longest year of my life.
I feel like most people are on board with that assessment of the year. Although, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, everyone has sort of collectively agreed what a dumpster fire 2020 was, but there must have been some people that are like, no, my 2020 was amazing in spite of COVID, in spite of the election, in spite of all these things. Like, who are those people? Where are they?
Yeah. And it was funny because I was thinking back, like, and it just feels like the year was so long that we literally put, like, 3 years into a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking back, I had major surgery last year that, like, happened, like, it was a sudden surprise sort of a thing. And I realized that was only 6 months ago. It feels like it was 2 years ago. That was only 6 months ago, and I was laid up for 3 months.
I feel like time in 2020 wasn't linear. Like, do you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, the first, you know, month or so that we were quarantined, it felt like months and months and months and months.
Yes.
And then we got past that first month, and then it seemed like, wait, it's July already? How did that happen?
Right. Exactly.
Then the summer just kind of ended.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why is it ending? Nothing else is changing. Why can't it just continue to be warm out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, get on that, Kurt. Look into that.
Well, in LA, it was
warm
weather last week.
Really? Well, not here, but not here in New Jersey. But 2021 is already turning out to be wacky, whereas Sheena star Tanya Roberts died and came back to life.
Okay, true story, you guys.
I find that inspirational.
I know her publicist.
Oh, yeah.
I know the guy who reported that she was dead. And I think you know him too, Jason.
I know him too. I didn't realize that he, well, A, I didn't know he was her publicist, but B, I didn't know that he was the one that first put the word out. I didn't realize that.
Because he's the one that gave a statement today.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I was kind of like, that's a rough job, man. How do you like come back from that one?
Yeah.
You know, that's,
well, and this is, I mean, everybody loves a comeback. Look, this is the comeback of the century.
What happened? Like, I don't think I heard the she came back to life part of this. Her
well,
death.
She didn't really come back.
We're talking
to
about
life.
Tanya she Roberts. If we didn't say it. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, she was never dead.
What do you mean she was never dead?
They reported that she was dead.
They reported that she was dead.
All these news reports this morning, they said, or maybe it was just yesterday. Yeah, they said she is dead. And then there's news reports today, like this afternoon, they said, whoops, she's not dead.
And
I missed that. Well, the person that Les and I know, and maybe we shouldn't call him out here, but he had posted something, I thought it was today, but maybe it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
About being heartbroken.
That was yesterday.
Okay.
Because basically what happened is I saw that, I Googled, it was all over the news, and then today, all of a sudden, TMZ's like, guess what? She's not dead. And I was like, oh, come on, no way. And I Googled again, and I'm like, oh, she's not dead. But in his defense, he was given misinformation by, like, her spouse or something. Like, he was given misinformation.
Yeah.
Oof. That is crazy stuff.
We also lost Don Wells last week from Gilligan's Island.
I know.
And
are we sure?
Marianne. She might be.
Well, yeah. Well, I know someone close to her too. So I know she's a comedian, Samantha Hale, whose grandfather is Alan Hale, who played the skipper.
Right.
Yeah. And so she had confirmed that she heard about Don's passing, but you know, Don was family to her for a long time growing up.
Yeah, and that's sad. And I know people who have worked with her and who met her, and she sounded like she was a nice lady.
Yeah, I've heard she's one of those celebs I've never heard a mean word said about her.
Right. Right.
And she was super hot back in the day.
She aged very well because she was. I didn't realize she was like around 80.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. The only remaining Gilligan cast member is Tina Louise. Oh, she's the only
ginger outliving. And then at the end of the day, Betty White is once again like, I'm going to outlive all you bitches because I am still here.
They could do a reboot of the Golden Girls like with a new cast, but still have Betty White play Rose.
Right. I could see.
Yeah, I guess they could. Yeah.
Well, they're rebooting Sex and the City.
Are they?
Yeah, that just sounds terrible.
And they're rebooting Little House on the Prairie.
That makes more sense. Yeah,
because that together as one show.
Well, that I would watch.
Right. I was reading something. I was reading something, and I sign off on this that they were interviewing Alison Arngrim, and she was like, "Well, you know, I'd make a really good Mrs. Olsen." And I was like, you know, right. I sign off. I support that.
Do you actually know Allison, Les? Because I know a lot of people in the LA comedy community. Why is she not on our show? She's really funny. Get her on.
Well, because I was saying that she, every day she does this.
She like reads,
storytelling
right?
thing. She reads. Yeah. Yes. You know what? Shoot her off the message.
Seriously, I would love to have her on the show. She would be great on our show.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Shoot her off the message.
Give her a
Nellie Olson you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Nellie Olson. Yeah, we should have her on.
Allison has a very good sense of humor about having been on that show, and she, you know, fully understands her sort of part in the legacy of that show, and I just think she gets it and also would have a lot of fun with us doing like a crazy Lifetime movie.
And that is what I think is cool about her. She just like leans into it, you know, she's just like, you know what? I can't change this. I'm just going to lean in 100%. Yeah, I will definitely, I will shoot her off a message when we are done tonight.
I love that. Now, are we going to address this?
Get it out, Kurt. Yes, just get it out. Let's go. Let's do this.
Wait, that was too quiet. Hold on. All right, what is the problem here, Kurt?
Well, let's do this.
Kirkendall Barrett has been accused of being a spoiler. It seems that you know, people are home. They have nothing to do. It's been a long year, and all they have to do.
Apparently, the only pleasure they have. Magazines.
The only pleasure they have in life is watching Cobra Kai season 3, and Les has ruined the program for all of them.
Kurt, you say broadly without ruining it? What Les is on trial for ruining in the show? I just started watching it, so sort of broad strokes, what did he say?
He put up an update on Facebook and said, well, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning watching it because I was going to stop, but then this happened, and he said, you know, spoiler, and then this happened, spoiler, and then this happened, spoiler. And one of the spoilers at the end, I guess I should have known it was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to happen, but that's okay. It's okay. But there were some people who were annoyed.
Right. Okay, here's in my defense. First of all, I actually, truth be told, was watching Cobra Kai all through the summer. And I watched almost 2 seasons. And by the middle of the second season, I got a little burned out on it. So I put it away for a minute. Mm-hmm. Well, the other day, I was minding my own business, thumbing through Entertainment Weekly. And they did an interview with one of the spoilers on Entertainment Weekly. And I went, really? Oh, my God. Reading this. And then it was in USA Today. And it was in several other papers.
I did not see any of this coverage, but I'm guessing I know what it is that you may have spoiled. And I had heard about that at the end of last season.
And it was all over social media. So my thing is, if it is out in the press, it is already spoiled.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And if you can't get off your happy ass and read a magazine, or if and it's all over social media, first of all, if you started reading it and you felt there was a spoiler coming on, you did not have to complete reading the paragraph.
Well, this is what I would say. I would say Entertainment Weekly is very good about telling you, hey, spoiler ahead. So if they didn't say that, they probably didn't view it as a spoiler. I'm assuming you're talking about a certain character that returns.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's been in the press. They're probably putting it in the press to do the opposite of spoiling. They want you to know about it so you'll tune in.
Because, and see, Jason, exactly. And so the whole reason why I tuned in is because I read this. I read that that person was coming back and another person was coming back. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to watch it. And that's what that was my incentive to watch it. And I watched the show because of that.
Kurt, cover your ears. I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off right now and just say what it was. Elizabeth Shue comes back.
Yeah. Oh. And
so I know okay, now.
She's not on the whole season, though.
Number two. I said that the people who were coming back came back, but I didn't say why. I didn't say what they did. I didn't say how it had to do with the plot. Mm-hmm. I said none of that.
Yeah. The funny thing is I had just seen an episode where they tease that there's the potential for her showing up in the future. And then like today I was reading an article about Cobra Kai and there was a detail in there that I hadn't watched in the season yet where I was like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen with this character.
Right.
Oh, see, I don't know what happens with any of these people. So really it's not spoiled for me.
And it's not a spoiler anyway. Yeah. If it's in the paper, if it's in USA Today, which it was, it's in USA Today and the New York Times, it's already been
spoiled. This is the equivalent of like when Julia Roberts was on Friends and you read the TV guide listing and it says special guest star Julia Roberts. She was.
Right. Right.
No, I didn't know that. Yes, I think that was a Super Bowl episode also.
It was. Chris Isaac was in that episode as well.
And by the way, Jason, so one of the articles did have da-da-da-da-da-da-da spoiler, but they had spoiler, but they had the person's picture on the article.
That's funny. That's just dumb.
That's ridiculous.
So I didn't spoil shit.
Okay. I just thought you'd get it, you know.
Seriously, I didn't spoil shit.
Okay, that's a good defense.
And I
like that it's just boiled down to, I didn't spoil shit.
Right? Exactly. And so I got annoyed. People were being so pussified about it that I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna take it.
You are doubling down, Les.
Well, because it was like really, you know, it's like there are bigger things in life to whine about.
Well, that's certainly true. Yeah.
There are bigger things in life to ruin your day than that.
Now, if Les had revealed that Elizabeth Shue's character is now a karate master herself and kills a guy in one of the episodes, did I ruin something by telling that?
That would happen.
Right.
Does she kill somebody?
Yeah.
Well, now that makes me want to see it.
And that's part of it, too. The fact that I didn't say what they did. I didn't say what they did. I just said that they were back. They actually have an integral part in the season, which I'm not going to say, but that was a surprise to me. And it was like, so if they, I don't reveal the plot.
They hinted last season that she could play a role in this current universe of Cobra Kai. Because remember, I think it was Johnny may have friend requested her on Facebook. Yeah.
That was the season finale. They were coy about it, because I even saw an interview with Elizabeth Shue, and she was like, "Well, I'm talking to them. That's all I can say."
Oh, here's one more thing. By the way, did you know that there is a talk show on Netflix? It's an after show. Yes. It's a Cobra Kai after show. Well,
David Spade is on it.
Last night, guess who was on the Cobra Kai after show?
David
the
Spade.
The person.
Because she's been on it. It's after the fact.
So that means I didn't spoil it. If you can watch it, on Netflix, I didn't spoil it.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess if it's out, widespread news, yeah.
Right. If you watch the episode on Netflix, which I watched last night, I didn't spoil it.
I'm going to back you up in a much more succinct way, Les. We literally do an entire podcast where all we do is spoil the plot of movies.
We do. But what are these movies? But these movies are, most of them have the same plot. They kiss at the end.
Not this one.
I'm not backing down on this one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good defense.
I didn't spoil shit.
No.
Now, speaking of not backing down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any Black China news?
China. I have to have my China. China.
And now the Black China Report. Here's Griff Fitzpatrick.
Okay, this is today. Once again, from theblast.com, they are a consistent source of Black China news. Black China shows off curves days after filing lawsuit over false drug claims. Talk about mashing together stories here. Black China was spotted looking unbothered only days after filing a massive lawsuit against media outlets over false drug accusations. Over the weekend, China posted a stunning series of photos showing her posing at home in a tiny silky gray dress. She was seen sitting in an oversized chair while posing for the camera. She captioned the post, "Daydreaming and I'm thinking of you."
Aww.
China was showered with praise in her comment with a ton of fire and heart eye emojis. China's had a couple of a busy couple of weeks. She reached a custody battle with Rob Kardashian over their daughter Dream. Per their deal, both agreed not to drink or get drunk while they have custody. According to reports, the ex-couple will have equal time with their daughter and will split holidays and vacations. The deal read, commencing, we don't have to read this. This is just like when they're seeing each other. China is still suing her ex and his family in a civil suit. She accuses them of conspiring together to have her reality show Robin China canceled. As The Blast previously reported last week, China filed a massive lawsuit against TMZ and American media. In the suit obtained by The Blast, China says confidential documents filed by Rob in their custody battle were leaked to the media outlets. She says the documents included a declaration written by her ex that included many false allegations about her. China said Rob accused her of using drugs, including cocaine, and endangering the safety of their daughter, Dream. China accuses the defendants of defamation, conversion, public disclosure of private facts, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. It's a little bit here. Okay. In the documents filed by Rob, the Keeping Up with the Kardashian star accused of acts of using illegal drugs, teaching their daughter to twerk, not taking care of Dream. And that she was repeatedly drunk in front of their kid. China says all this was a lie. China says despite California law regarding family law documents, TMZ published the information from the document filed by Rob. She says this is wrong and was damages for the alleged harm she suffered. She admits that as the only grandchild of Kris Jenner with the Kardashian name, there unquestionably is a substantial public interest in her child. However, China says the leaks have caused her to be fearful for Dream's safety. China is suing for unspecified damages.
Imagine having a restraining order against twerking.
Right?
She allegedly taught her daughter to twerk.
She twerked.
Can't do that.
Ever.
Well.
Isn't a baby basically always twerking anyway? Like, they're, because you figure when you're twerking, you're just kind of like, you're flat on your feet, but your knees are kind of bent, and you're just shaking your butt. But isn't that kind of the same move you make when you're young and don't have real good balance in your legs yet and you're figuring it out? You're just kind of up and like I'm doing. I'm standing and I'm like kind of hovering forward and I'm just trying to not fall over.
Well, when I twerk, I put a lot of thought into it. I don't know, but that's the Black China news, and the blast is just they're into Black China as much as we are. They are constantly hot. They're like the Black China Associated Press.
Oh, well, speaking of press, I actually have a June Squib report.
And now it's time for your Squibster, your June Squib report. Here's Les Kirk and Albert.
I have been doing a deep dive on our new friend, June Louise Squibb, and I found out some very interesting things. Now,
and her middle name is Louise.
What'd you call her?
Les referred to her as June Louise Squibb and said he found out a lot about her. And I was like her middle name is Louise.
Well, guess who her best friend is?
Who?
It's Tanya Roberts.
No. It's actually someone very noteworthy. June Squibb hangs out with Lupita Nyong'o.
Who?
Oh.
Lupita Nyong'o from Star Wars. 12 Years a Slave. And Black Panther.
Okay. Oh, that's... Yes, I do know who she is. Yeah. She was also in one of the Star Wars movies, right? She was a couple of them. Yeah.
Right. And so... June Squibb is 91. Lupita is what, like in her 30s?
That's cool.
So it's a pretty good friend, and they're very good friends.
What do you think they do when they hang out together?
They probably go go do shots somewhere. June Squibb looks like she'd be fun.
I feel like June Squibb and Lupita Nyong'o, they get together and they're doing like TikTok videos.
Right.
That'd be cool.
Right.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, there's some odd couples out there. Why not?
Right. And the second thing that I learned is...
Both in the business.
Did you know that back in the day, June Squibb was a model for the cover of romance novels?
No. So she was like a female Fabio?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you have the titles of any of the books?
I do not, but I will do a deep dive and find out.
I think she was the eyes in The Great Gatsby.
She could have been. Well, that was around the time that she was alive. Well, no, she was a little girl.
Starting the year off
strong.
She was
a little girl.
I'm getting this vision of a young, radiant June Squibb holding on to a bare-chested Adonis with long, flowy hair on top of a white horse.
Right? That's I think awesome. That's so cool, though. And I just still, you know, I still think the coolest thing is the fact that she did not have her first film role until she was in her 60s.
Yeah.
And still eked out, like, a long 20-year movie career.
Well, and she already had a career in entertainment before that, so.
Yeah, she was on stage. Yeah. She was, like, she was a stage actor. And what I read is she was a stage actor and didn't necessarily even want a career in film. And she was not the first choice for the role that she had in Nebraska.
Oh, who was?
Let me look it up and see. But, yeah.
Probably. Who could have been?
Okay.
Clarice Leachman.
Lori Loughlin.
Nah.
Lori Loughlin. Well, Lori Loughlin is now out and planning her comeback.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Comeback in the works.
I bet she is either going to be on Dancing with the Stars or The Masked Singer.
Oh, Lori.
Lori Loughlin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can see either one of those.
Okay. So here it is. Okay. So June's role in Nebraska turned out to be one of the biggest opportunities of her career, but she almost wasn't chosen for it. Alexander Payne, who had worked with June in the past, initially felt that she was too sweet to play the character that he'd envisioned. However, June recorded two audition tapes to show that she could portray a character in more than one way, and that is what cinched it for her.
Oh.
So who was the...
Yeah, we still haven't found out who was going to get the role.
They didn't say, but I will do a deep dive.
Maybe it was Sandra Oh.
Find out. Right? What if it was Sandra Oh?
Well, was his ex-wife, Andrea Alexander Payne?
Or, well, it's supposed to be a woman of a certain age, so maybe like Jane Seymour. Betty White.
Jane Seymour reads too young for that kind of the role that Betty it was. White?
Who was the woman who was in Midnight Cowboy? What's her name?
I don't know.
Talking about Midnight Cowboy. There's some. There's a woman in that he used to be in like a lot of stuff. But she was older. I think she passed away though.
Like what? Like Paul Prentice or
Dead Air? Something? No.
Or who was the other one?
Midnight Cowboy. I'll look it up right now.
Who was the one in Harold and Maude? Her?
No, that's Ruth Gordon. No. She's long
gone. Oh my God. Okay. Did you know that June Squibb was in the original run of the play Gypsy?
Who was she in that? Was she Mom Rose?
It's Sylvia Miles.
Oh, I like her.
Midnight Cowboy is Sylvia Miles. I think she passed away though.
Yeah, she was Roxy's mother.
But she died
to live.
She died just about June 12th, 2019. So she died fairly recently.
Yeah, because Sylvia Miles was Roxy's mother on One Life to Live.
Yeah, so Sylvia Miles could have played the Nebraska role.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Well, you know, I guess we should start talking about this movie.
Yes.
All right.
This movie, Fatal Fiancé.
Fatal Fiancé.
Our first movie of 2021, a Lifetime movie.
I'm noticing that Lifetime is actually starting to create some new universes, which I'm fine with. Because, you know, they started with, you know, the Deranged universe is a newer one. The Fatal universe is a new one, and then I think there's going to be like an Obsessed universe.
Well, do we know if these are universes? Because in all three cases so far, there's only been one title.
I have a feeling,
like, you know what I mean? Like, it can't be a trilogy universes. If there's only one.
Right.
Fatal movies. Well, there was Fatal Attraction, Fatal Beauty with Whoopi Goldberg.
I don't think either of those movies are related to this Lifetime one.
This was no Fatal Attraction.
I'm more amused by Fatal Beauty.
Well, they're piggybacking off that title.
Fatal Fiancé. Okay, so just so you know, I'm going to prepare you guys now. This movie was chock full of soap stars.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Everybody in this movie was a soap star.
Yeah.
Except for the lead guy.
Well, has the lead guy been in other things? He was the one that looked the most familiar to me.
I think maybe he's had smaller roles in other things.
Yeah. I wonder if he was like a child actor or something, because he had a very cherubic face.
Yeah. Hmm. Now, I got to tell you, the acting on these movies, you know, I never commend the acting on these movies.
And you should not.
Ever. But
I noticed Elizabeth Shue didn't show up in this one.
He actually fooled me for a minute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He fooled me for a minute. Because I was like, well, let's get started. And then, so, we're in a restaurant. And we see Langston One Life to Live. Wait,
before we even get into the movie, I just went into the IMDb page. And do you know what the original title of this movie was going to be?
What?
A Deadly Bride's Napping.
Bride's Napping.
Well, it's not wrong.
No, I mean, it describes the movie.
It's not wrong.
Okay.
It's like, where's the lie?
Yeah, that's a universe I would watch.
That's
we couldn't sue them for libel, I guess, on that one. Jesus.
That's funny. So Langston from One Life to Live, or her name is Leah in this movie, is with her boyfriend, and then her mom and her dad, Ned Quartermain from General Hospital, show up.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that was Ned Quartermain.
Yes, that was Ned Quartermain.
Oh, wow.
And so we find out through them talking that, you know, she's getting married. She and her fiance, they're getting married. But we find out that she's kind of an adventure junkie, this woman. And she's either traveling around the world, or she's, you know, jumping out of planes or mountain climbing. Like, she's just very, she has just like a lust for life. And she's just like, she's all about an adventure. And so this, her mom was happy that she was finally like settling down with a guy.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the portrayal of the character, they set that up at the beginning of the movie, but we never see any of that sense of adventure in this character at all.
No.
It's mentioned like two times, yeah. But like her characters seem kind of dull.
Right. I mean, she can kick your ass.
Yeah.
But she didn't seem too excited.
Right. Yeah, she didn't seem as worldly as they made her out to be.
Do you think that her being an adventure seeker, do you think she was subconsciously seeked out Maniac as a partner? You know how they say, like, people, like, certain people, like, if somebody has, like, an alcohol parent, they always, like, somehow end up with, like, an alcohol partner?
Well, I could see, because he was very dramatic, so I could see if she was, like, addicted to drama, I could see that.
Right. Except he wasn't, he hadn't exuded any of those qualities until partway into the movie.
Right. True.
He seemed kind of boring. Level. He was like a finance guy and was kind of like really lovey-dovey and sweet.
True. But
I was going to say, there's also a scene in the beginning of the movie. I don't even know what's going on. Like, somebody was like running through the rocks, you know, like during like the opening.
The opening sequence really doesn't, even now that I'm thinking back on it, it doesn't really seem to lay any groundwork for the movie.
No,
I didn't know what was going on.
Like, none. So we find out like how they met. They met, and then on their third date, Mark took Leah out for a private tour of a winery, and then invited her back to his place for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No, those were two different dates.
Really?
They were trying to illustrate, like, the first two dates he, like, really tried hard, like, got her a meeting with some fancy chef that she would have been in awe of, and then the other one was the tour of the winery, and so the third date, he knew he needed to dial it back, so he's like, all right, I'll just make her a PB&J.
Well, right. I just skipped straight to the peanut butter and jelly sandwich on my dates, so I start off with that.
I thoroughly love the level of exposition. They're telling her parents about all of their different dates, and the parents are asking about how they met, as if it seemed like they were trying to do the exposition for the audience, yet also have it both ways and make it seem like the parents had already met Mark before.
Right. So they're very happy. They're a very happy couple. Then they show them at home in bed. So I'm like, oh, yep, it's a Lifetime movie. They're showing them in the same bed.
Well, she had already joked about the only thing she needed a man for before. And her dad basically made a joke about her doing it with other people.
Right. So she's actually, like, they're both very excited about their wedding. She's excited about getting married. And then the next day we see, like, a wedding dress montage with her. And she's trying on wedding dresses. Her and her mom and her friends are all drinking, mm-hmm. which which I was like, oh yeah, definitely a Lifetime movie.
Yeah,
they're, you know, sitting around drinking.
Well, so forgive me for being dumb about this. It could be, because we've sort of talked about, especially in the Hallmark movies, the timeline of like tasting the wedding cake. It seemed like it didn't seem like this was the final dress fitting, because the final dress fitting, like, would all those people be there? Wouldn't she just be doing like last looks to make sure it still fits?
You know, sometimes I think the final dress fitting, I think you do have people there to see if it looks right. And then you have one more, like, you know, they zhuzh everything and tighten everything. And then you try it on again the day.
Okay. It just, I didn't realize that they would be having a group gathering for the fitting that close to the wedding. That seemed odd to me, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I think you do, like, for the, like, closer to the wedding, when you're doing, like, the finishing touches, I think you do bring someone just to make sure it looks right.
Yeah, okay.
Like a second pair of eyes.
Or mom had eyes, because her mom commented on Mark's abs.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Mom was horny. Yeah,
mom's horny.
Yeah.
Right. And then we find out that his parents died in the car accident.
I see dead people.
So
because one of her friends brings us up. She says, when's Mark's parents showing up? And they all look at her in horror, like she is a disgrace.
And so yeah, I was like, okay, so, but dead parents, this means it's going to be like an okay movie. Here we go.
I was worried for you, Les, when we found out basically in the first moment, the first scene that, that Leah's parents are both alive.
Yeah, I was a little scared too. I was like, uh-oh, here we go again. So then we see Leah in her office. Now, what did she do? Because
she was a renowned, world-renowned food writer that now runs her own food blog that somebody was trying to buy. And I thought that was going to be a major plot point later on, and it was not.
Because they just mentioned it once, one time.
But they made a big deal about mentioning it.
Yeah. But that was it. Oh, and so then she is talking to her friend Priya, and she brings out these metal, what were they called? Petzl locks. They were like for mountain climbing.
Right, yeah. There's some sort of climbing locks, again, because Leah is supposed to be so worldly, and apparently Mark isn't. And this is like she got them engraved ones for Mark, even though he's not a climber.
Right.
Yeah, that's weird.
So yes, she got it. She got them engraved. So then she leaves and she gets in her car and we see someone watching her. And then I love the fact that she saw the person watching her. She knew she was being followed. She like, This is the one where the girl was in the car, right?
Well, she's being watched by this person that's following her in a Hyundai Veloster. Mm-hmm. Which, if you know, like a Hyundai Veloster is like, it's a tiny little car, and it's got two doors on the one side so people can get in, and on the other side there's only one door for somebody to get into the back.
So that's right. So then the car was following her, and so she's on the Leah's on the phone talking to her friend, and then she's like, "Hey, I'm being followed," and she tries to ditch the person following her, and so then she goes to on another errand. She parks the car, and as she goes inside, the person wearing sunglasses and a baseball hat goes into her car and starts going through her glove compartment. And I got a little worried because the person was not wearing a hoodie.
I agree. I was worried at this point. I'm like, she's incognito but not wearing a black hoodie like all other Lifetime movies. That really upset me.
Right. So I was like, okay, where are we going with this?
We do see a nod to the black hoodie later in the movie, though.
Yeah. So then Leah comes back out and she gets into her car and the person's in her car, like hiding in her car.
Now, does this person plan this out? Like, did she turn off her phone? Did she put her phone on airplane mode? Is there a special mode you can switch your phone for hiding?
Stalker mode? Yeah. Yeah. Lifetime stalker mode.
Right.
I don't think she pre-planned to be in the car, though, because she seemed surprised that Leah came back to the car so soon and was kind of looking at like, how can I get out of here? And just jumped in the back seat.
Just stay here.
Yeah.
And so then Leah starts driving again. And she calls her friend, but she feels like something's weird. I actually like this because she's in the car and she feels like just something's weird, like something's not right in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she looks back. She has her mace, which I loved too. And so she takes the mace out. The person jumps out of the car, and the person is none other than Gabriela Josefina Hernandez de Mera, Gabby de Mera from Days of Our Lives.
Wow, that must have been a surprise to have her in the car.
I was like, Gabby, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Salem.
I was just thinking, if I was driving and I noticed somebody in the back seat like that, I think I'd just jump out of the car with it moving. And then I just roll around the ground.
Or I would like slam on the brakes really fast so they get, because if they're like laying in the back, they're not strapped in by a seatbelt. They're going to be like thrown into the seats.
Right. But I love the fact that she had her mace though.
Mm-hmm. She had her mace and she had the rear view mirror and she like slowly tilted it down to see if something was back there.
Right.
I wonder if someone's in the back seat today.
So they're didn't Gabby grab the mace and like mace?
So yeah, so they're basically fighting. Then this actress Gabby grabs the mace and they're still wrestling. And then Gabby grabs the Leah character and is shouting, "You cannot marry him! You cannot marry him!"
Right.
Now, was there any other way that she could have approached her to give her this information? She had to stalk her and then hide in the backseat of her car.
It seems to me she could have just reached out to her on social media.
Right.
Yeah, Facebook. She could have written. Yeah, LinkedIn. You know, there's all kinds of ways you can contact someone without hiding.
Slipped into her DMs.
You don't have to end up hiding in someone's backseat.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Like a note.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
A phone call.
So then, Leah's fiance, we find out that the crazy girl, Gabby, is actually his ex-girlfriend, Faith. And he proceeds to tell Leah that she was delusional. She was stalking him, and she was obsessed with her ex-boyfriend named Brian.
Yeah, this was crazy exposition. All of a sudden, he's like, he just lets all this out.
Yeah,
he's like, she stalked his high school girlfriend, and then he tried to stab her with a butter knife.
Butcher knife.
Insane. Oh, yeah. Butcher knife. I like butter knife better.
So then Leah was like pissed, like, why didn't you tell me that something like this, you know, why didn't you tell me you're being stalked? I think this is something that I should know.
Stalked by an ex-girlfriend who has now been institutionalized for 5 years.
Right. And who's hanging out in my car. So obviously she's a threat to me. And so she's like, listen, you know, you got to be upfront with me from now on. I don't want any more surprises, which I don't blame her.
I like that at this point, like, Mark's trying to calm Leah down about the attack and says, you know what? We can just file a police report in the morning. Why the fuck did they not already file a police report? Like, she was attacked by a stranger in her car. And Mark's like, we should probably let the police know about this tomorrow.
Right. And that's the thing, in her car.
Yeah, what's the rush? Yeah. That would have freaked me out.
I was going to murder that guy, but I just got a little peckish. I need some food, so I just went to McDonald's and time just slipped away.
So then the next day, which I think was kind of realistic, Leah's a little traumatized the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's thinking about it, which I kind of liked this because in a lot of the Lifetime movies, something will go down like that, and the next day the woman's walking around like it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. So she's
very traumatic.
Yeah. So she's like traumatized from it and she's like running it over in her head.
She was having dueling audio flashbacks. There were a lot of audio flashbacks in this movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the person who directed this or the editor, this was like their first time like playing around with sound. Because some funky things started happening later in the movie. So Faith is back and she's stalking her again. So then Leah's talking to her mom. Her mom's like, listen, you should just go on and get married anyway. Don't let this ruin your wedding day. But then the mom is stupid because, okay, your daughter almost got kidnapped. She got attacked. She had a woman hanging out and stalking her in her car, and you're going to leave her at home alone.
Yeah.
Well, this is really stupid. Yeah. This next thing that happened. Yeah. She has to, they made a decision, Leah and Mark, which, by the way, it gets confusing. There's a Leah and a Priya, right? So Leah and Mark decide that they should spend the night apart.
Right.
Because it would be make their wedding night more romantic. This is right after she gets attacked.
Yeah.
She's going to go spend the night apart.
Like, if they made that decision ahead of time, but wouldn't you, like, rethink that? Like, maybe, you know, her parents were in town. They could stay at the house, or Priya could stay at the big house with her.
Right.
Or by the way,
a hotel.
The first, like, third of the movie, I thought they had said her name was Mia, and I thought I heard him say it a few times. Then they showed it on screen at one point, and it said L-I-A, Leah. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I got it wrong. Later on, there is a scene where a doctor calls her both Leah and Mia.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I guess
I was so confused. Yeah.
I guess they changed her name halfway through the film.
And then they had Priya. Leah, Mia, and Priya.
A lot of E's. She finds that
she's at home alone.
Oh yeah,
right. She finds box. Yeah,
I thought there was going to be a snake in it. She finds this box in the closet. She starts opening it, but then she stops. I thought for sure
she gets a text. Cobra,
big snake, boa constrictor was going to hop out.
Then she's taking a bath, like you know,
it's nudie time.
She's taking a bath, and then someone comes into the house, and then we get our Lifetime danger music. So we know that danger is coming because it was Lifetime danger music. Mm-hmm. So then, okay, dumb girl. When you get attacked and the person is still on the loose, I don't think it's smart to walk around in a dark house. So she's walking around in this dark house. And then she gets startled and it's Mark. Mark came back home for something. So then,
yeah, Mark came back because she had asked him to put up these like security cameras months ago. And he's like, you know, I felt bad that you were here by yourself. So I'm going to hang the cameras now.
Right.
Well, that's good.
So then, you know, she's very like into spiritual things. You know, she has a cup of tea. She meditates.
Yeah.
And while she's meditating, Faith, once again, does not quit. Faith is trying to get in the house again.
To her, meditation is going to become like a trigger for panicking.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not what you want.
So Faith just does not quit. She does not quit. She does not go away. And so Leah hears a noise, and then she goes back to meditating. But then Faith comes in And Faith, I was so happy to see this. I saw a bottle of chloroform, and I got very excited.
The world's largest label ever on a bottle of chloroform. It was the largest font. It was like 172,000-point font that said chloroform on the bottle.
Because we've been doing Christmas movies since, what, October? So I haven't seen chloroform in a couple of months.
No, it's been a while.
I was like, it's back. It's back.
Oh, chloroform, so, how we missed you.
Right? So then we go to the wedding, and Leah is late. And the reason why Leah is late is because she wakes up tied to a chair. And Faith has her captive. And then Faith then looks down. She sees that Mark has texted Leah. And then back at the wedding, everybody is talking shit about Leah at the wedding. Oh,
yeah. The mom had it.
She says people are not keeping their opinions to themselves.
Yeah. Well, the mom was a super big asshole to the florist about them putting flowers in the wrong place or whatever, having a meltdown about that. And then they're going around like the dad is the first one to be like, I think Leah's getting cold feet. I mean, we know how she is. Like everyone, it was very on the same page about, yeah, Leah probably won't show up for this wedding today.
Right. And just totally just shit
talking. Nobody
had
any faith in her whatsoever.
The bridesmaids were all like shit talking, like everyone. I'm like, oh, poor Leah, man.
Fuck Leah. No, if they all knew that about it, they are stupid. If they showed up to this wedding, if they all believed that Leah was not going to show up, they're stupid for having wasted their money to be in this wedding party and to fly to LA to go to this wedding. Fuck them.
But she was falsely accused.
It's drama, though. Accused. I think the working class got shit on also in this movie. The florist, a waiter happens, you know.
But then I wrote too in my notes, I guess she's done this before. So I don't know if they really didn't establish that this was a pattern, but I guess it was.
Is she a runaway bride?
They actually used that phrase. They thought that she might be.
Yeah. And so then the mom, okay, this is funny too, because someone then brings up that, oh, well, you know, she was stalked. And attacked
yesterday.
maybe the attacker came back.
I loved that the mom is like, that hadn't even occurred to me.
Right, and then blew it off. And then totally blew it off.
It's like, yeah, I don't want to believe that's the reason. Let's just keep trying to find Leah.
Right. I mean, seriously, poor Leah, man. It's like, You do not have much of a support system in your life. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's better she didn't show up. Better for her.
Well, apparently. So then we see Faith, and she's eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich while she's torturing Leah.
With an aggressive knife. She was making that peanut butter and jelly sandwich with like a giant meat cleaver.
Yeah.
This is another example of associations. Now Leah is now going to associate peanut butter and jelly with this.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
meditation with this heart. I mean, everything is destroyed now.
Oh, no. Leah's just a wreck. She's going to be a wreck, period.
I realize now that the peanut butter and jelly is foreshadowing.
Yes. Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then finally, Priya, her best friend, is like, you know, I think something's up. This just isn't right. And so Priya is finally like, you know what? I'm going to go take control of the situation, you assholes, because something's up. So then... Leah's trying to get free. And then Faith is going on and saying, listen, he's going to screw you over. He's going to turn the house into a prison. He's going to monitor your every move. He's going to stalk you. And she's going on and on and on and on and on about this. But she's like, and then she keeps on saying that she's having a headache, like she's having migraines. And so then Mark goes to the house and he looks at his hidden, he looks at his camera footage.
Yeah.
And he sees Faith in the footage. And so I was like, you know, he's taken snooping to a whole new level, and I'm here for it.
Well, that's not really snooping. The cameras were out in the open. Like Leah knew that they were there. It's the first Lifetime movie actually where we had cameras that weren't hidden and they were appropriate size, and everyone was sort of on board with like, yes, these cameras belong here.
So then Leah unties herself, and while she unties herself, Mark actually goes to find her. And so then we find out that Faith is very pissed, and one of the reasons why she's pissed is because she was in an asylum for 5 years. And she starts calling him Brian, like starts talking about Brian. And she's yelling at Leah, and she's like, Brian's evil, Brian's this. And then she finds out, she bumps into Leah and finds out that Leah actually has untied herself. And so then Mark is at the front door. Faith has a gun. Then Mark gets a hold of Faith and starts strangling her. Leah then grabs the gun, and he's strangling her so much that Leah is like, dude, calm down. Don't kill her. Like, he's going to kill her.
Yeah, he was so intense in that moment and like had his hands around Faith's neck, and it was gross.
Which, now, you know, I get him being upset.
Yeah.
Was she pointing the gun at Mark? That's what it looked like.
Yeah, Leah turned the gun. Well, she was basically pointing it at the scene because she was worried about Faith. But then as Mark got more intense with the choking, Leah's like,
right,
I've got to stop him. This is bad. Like, he's going to murder her. And so Leah turned it on Mark. He's like, Mark, let her go.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So then... Faith drives off in a car.
Her Veloster.
And then we see her in her next scene doing one of my favorite things on Lifetime movies. She's sitting on the ground, like, scratching out all of the faces of the pictures.
I was wondering how Faith, how she got home before. You know, when she parked her car at, like, that... the strip mall, and she hid in the back seat and ended up, you know, but then, so how did she get home from there? Did she call a Lyft? Did she get a bus?
That's a good question.
Did she got a Lyft?
I'm going to vote for a bird scooter.
Yeah, probably.
A bird scooter? Yeah. Oh, like a, is that like those?
The scooters you see all around the city. Bike. Yeah. It's the, you know, they're just all over the city. She just, you know, puts her credit card info in and she gets on and she scoots away.
Okay, that's good. Okay, that's a good idea. That's the recommended transportation for anybody out there who's hiding in the back seat right now.
If you're hiding
back seat listening to our podcast.
Oh, well, right. I hope the volume's low because you don't want the person you're hiding from to hear us.
Yeah, lower that volume a little bit.
Or actually, no, make them listen to us and then tell them to give us 5 stars.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, so then Leah is very upset for obvious reasons. Because this is, she's like, my God, like 2 days in a row, I was attacked, I was kidnapped. And so she's like traumatized from this. So then she's doing yoga, trying to calm herself down.
At this moment, did you guys think that all the stuff that we saw with Faith just then was a dream sequence? I wasn't sure that had really happened when we kind of jump into the next scene.
Well, because the filmmaker was kind of artsy about the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was real.
So he did like weird camera angles, and plus it was so quickly after the other scene that it did kind of seem like maybe she was hallucinating this.
Or, well, yeah, like I thought for a few minutes that last sequence was just like that didn't really happen. And it was like they invested a lot of time in that. If that weren't really a thing that happened, maybe they're trying to show us that Leah is going crazy and maybe she's the bad guy.
Now, one thing about this movie, they really stretched things out.
What do you mean?
Like, they really stretched things out. Like, I think this movie all went down in like a week. Like, it wasn't that long. Like,
It was the first 3 days leading up to the wedding, and then it was, you know, over a month or so as they were planning the new wedding.
Oh.
Oh, so then, so Priya turns out to be kind of cool. Leah's trying to get her to do yoga. Priya's like, I hate yoga. So then Leah and Mark are having dinner. So I guess this is the month later. Leah and Mark are having dinner, and then Mark's talking about getting married again, and Leah's like, wait, too soon. I'm still recovering from this, and I want to get married, but I just don't want to do it now because I'm traumatized.
Yeah, this wasn't a month later. This was like a few days later because he was proposing, let's get married next month, and already had invitations printed.
Yeah, he surprised her with invitations, which she's sending out tomorrow.
Yeah. And she's just like, chill. I need a minute.
She said, will everybody be able to come? He says, no, not those cousins you can't stand and my boss I don't like. It's like, geez, why'd you invite those people in the first place?
Right. So then Leah is like having nightmares. She's having insomnia. And so she then decides that she wants to go to a spa, like a girl's day with Priya. So the next day, Mark wakes up, Leah's in the kitchen, and she tells him she's going on a spa day with Priya. And he starts getting like weird and antsy. And he's like, but what about the florist? You know, what about our wedding flowers?
And he was like, spa day wasn't in your calendar. And right. But the florist was, and then to suggest that she do yoga at home. And she's like, hi, I just had a really traumatic experience in that meditation room. I kind of don't want to go in there right now.
Right. You know?
Right. Are there a lot of guys who are that involved with the wedding? Like with the florist?
Well, that whole thing I thought was weird anyway, because they were doing it at the same venue. I don't understand why you would need to like make new plans for this new wedding. Wouldn't you just use all the framework or what you had figured out last time around? And if it's all available, like wouldn't you just do the same thing?
And I'm sure the people at your venue, because of the extenuating circumstances, would let you reschedule. Because this definitely was not your fault.
The mom was yelling at that florist, though, so maybe they did have to get a new florist.
Well, that's possible. The mom was an asshole to the florist.
Yeah.
So then Mark is just getting, like, really controlling, and so Leah, I like the fact that Leah was like, no, I need space. Get away from me.
Yeah.
And so then Leah is walking through a parking lot.
She's going to the spa.
This guy scares her.
A car is trailing her.
It's another Hyundai Veloster.
Oh, I guess maybe that was a sponsor for the movie.
Or they just wanted us to believe that this was Faith again.
So
but instead, it's a dude that's lost. And I like this because I've been watching shows and thinking like I'm trying to find roles that I think I could play. And this would have been a good role for me. The guy in the parking lot who she thinks is a stalker but actually is lost.
The guy that,
I don't know where I'm going. Listen, here we go.
What would the name?
I don't know where I'm going. How do I get out of here? Isn't that great?
What would the name of your character be in the script?
What's that?
What would your name of the character be in script?
Kurt.
They wouldn't give him a name. They would have like, you know.
It has to be a real character. Roger.
No, I feel like for that particular role, it would be like Kurt. Guy with poor sense of direction.
What's that? One direction?
Guy with poor sense of direction.
Oh, yeah. That'd be me. Hey, I don't know where I am. Could you help me out? Where's the exit?
Right.
It must be really hard to find your way out of a parking lot.
So then Leah and Priya are at the spa. Leah's telling Priya, like, that Mark is, like, starting to pressure her about wanting to get married quickly. And Priya's like, well, it's up to you. If it's too soon for you, then it's too soon for you. And then Leah starts telling Priya that, you know, Mark has been a little intense lately. He's starting to be controlling. And I like the fact, though, that she wasn't, like, sugarcoating everything. And she's like, you know, he's starting to be kind of weird.
No, I like her tone of voice because she's just saying, yeah, we're getting married next month. And he's a little hands-on, you know.
So then... Back at the house, Faith shows up again. And it's kind of a juxtaposition because Leah's telling Priya how Mark made her feel weird as Faith is at the house. And they keep on jumping between the scenes. So... So Leah keeps on telling Priya how, like, Mark is making her feel weird. And Priya is like, well, I back in you, whatever you decide. And so then we see Faith and she's talking to Mark and she's drinking tea. And I'm like, no.
Well, the tea drinking was super intense. It was quiet, but, like, it was the most, it was like a standoff. You just see them both drinking tea. And it didn't dawn on me that it was dumb of her to drink something Mark had made her.
Right. Well, we find out his name isn't Mark. We find out that his name, he is Brian.
Yeah. She called him Brian and he was not happy about it.
Right. He starts flipping out. And that's when I was like, oh my God, this is actually cool. He's the villain.
Well.
Like he's the villain and the crazy woman actually is right.
That's what I thought. I saw that coming though. Because it says it's called Fatal Fiance.
Yeah.
Right.
But well, it could have been, if Faith had been his fiance before, that would have made sense as a title.
Right. And I mean, come on. We've watched enough Lifetime movies where out of the gate, the crazy person is the crazy person.
That's true. This movie did have some nice misdirects.
Right. Because, normally the crazy person is the crazy person and they don't try to pretend otherwise. And the crazy person ends up killing.
Yeah.
You know? Right. So then Faith is like, you know what? You better. Okay. People. Stop threatening other people when you're locked in a house.
All right.
You threaten and run when you can run away or all get a car and drive away.
Kurt, you've been doing it too much. It's it's uncomfortable.
I don't mind him. I don't mind him calling me out on this off the air, but she's on the show, you know.
Well, I feel like this is the only way that Les and I can maintain our safety is if we do it in a public forum.
Right.
All right.
Because then she threatens him, and he's like, she's like, oh, yeah, well, guess what, bitch? Your tea's poison.
She gave him that Walter White thing, too, the ricin. Remember, he poisoned on a Breaking Bad. He used ricin. But he used something else, too.
Yeah.
It was good. Arsenic. Arsenic and old lace. Arsenic and ricin.
Isn't it like with arsenic, you can't taste it?
I don't know.
I think it is. I think arsenic is one of those drugs that the reason why people use it is because you can't taste it.
I will ask your husband, John, tomorrow in the hospital.
I don't want to. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Further investigate this.
So then. Leah's on the phone with her mom, and Mark tells her that he's gonna put her in the back. He tells Faith he's gonna put her in the back of the trunk. Then he drags Faith to a shed in the back of the house.
I wasn't sure what was happening there. That's what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had described, like, so it was kind of hard to follow because they were using very kind of blurry, shaky camera to simulate Faith, you know, falling under the spell of the poison. And right. Mark was like just sort of gleefully telling her how the poison was going to take over her body and then the next steps of what he was going to do. It was like the evil villain revealing right. the evil plan, but it was kind of a clever way to do it.
He was mustache I thought, twirling. Yeah.
I thought she was poisoned. Like, I thought he killed her with the poison.
I think he meant to kill her.
Yeah, he did say that it was going to take some time, but like she was basically going to be in his trunk in the meantime and then okay. would eventually die.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then Leah gets home. Mark is installing more security cameras. But then he kind of explains it away at first that, you know, after all this happened, I'm installing more security cameras just for safety's sake, since people have been breaking into our house. And
I thought you'd be happy about that.
Kidnapping you. So that made sense. But then he's like, you know what else I want to do? I want to monitor your phone, and you can monitor my phone. And Leah's like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, she's like, we're not tracking each other. What the hell is that shit?
And he was like, well, come on. He's like, you know, well, why not? And Leah's like, no, you're not going to monitor my phone. And I don't want to monitor. Because he kept on going, well, you can monitor mine. And she's like, I don't want to monitor your phone.
I don't want to know what you're up to. why were you so Googling Rice?
So then Leah goes into the shower, and then he gets her phone and does it anyway. Like, mm-hmm. What do you call it? The bump? Like, you bump the phones together? Or what do you call it?
I don't think he did the bumping thing, but yeah, he basically downloaded whatever app he needed to monitor her phone.
Yeah, because he was doing it at the same time. He was doing it at the same time.
Right.
With his.
Do people bump phones? I remember that was a thing, but I don't think I ever experienced that.
No, I don't. I think that fizzled out because it required both people having the app on their phone, and it also required it being cross-platform compatible, and it wasn't.
Because I did it a couple of times with people.
I remember hearing of that, but then it's haven't heard about it since.
So then Leah, once again, I'm liking Leah because Leah is starting to freak out, and Leah's like, okay, something weird is going on and I'm not putting up with this. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that she was just like, no, I'm not dealing.
Yeah. I actually like Leah, 'cause I don't think Leah was a complete moron. Sometimes they make the person that's being stalked out to be just a complete imbecile. And you kind of want to root for him, but it's hard to root for him when they're so stupid.
Right. And she's very clean. She's always bathing, taking a bath, and showering. Clean, fresh as a daisy.
Probably because of her out of nervousness.
Yeah.
So then, Leah is like in bed, but all of the stuff that Faith told her is now like going through her head.
Yeah, another audio remix.
And Leah is actually starting to think, hey, maybe Faith is right.
I like how she sleeps with a dramatic light on her eyes. You know, there's like that little swath of light on her eyes.
She can't sleep. So then she gets out of bed and she does what I would do, which she should have done this first when she first met him in the first place. She Googles him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ladies, always Google your dates.
Yeah.
Always. So she Googles him, but she doesn't find anything, like nothing. So then she Googles Faith, and it was funny because Faith's profile in the asylum like popped up. But Faith's profile in the asylum looked like I didn't realize that you could just throw everybody's business out there?
I unlike don't an asylum dating site? Think that's what that was. The way I read or saw that was she had put in Faith's name and then the name of the asylum. And Faith came up, but it was like other articles about Faith, like winning some art show or whatever. But then like news reports mentioning that she had been institutionalized or something. And they mentioned, so like, I think she had been in the news for other things. And then the fact that she'd been institutionalized made the news. But I don't think the institution is like, look at our new members.
Here's our student of the month.
So then Mark
on,
walks
you're
in.
On the welcome wagon.
Right. Mark walks in, but she shuts her computer just in time. So I'm like, very stealthy, very good. Very good. You slam that computer down.
She owned up to it though. She said, "Oh, I just went in a rabbit hole of, you know, looking up Faith." Like, cuz that was justifiable to Mark in that moment.
Right. Of course. So then, but then Mark's like, "You know what? You need sleeping pills."
And like, I have a doctorate. I'm sending you to him to get them.
Right.
And she questions. She's like, yeah. Why can't I use my own doctor? What the hell?
Oh, no, I don't trust him. You notice the music, too, the background music at this point. Because at some point, so it was like 80s techno, not techno, but like that synced music, you mm-hmm. know, from like old Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Now it was like opera was going on in the background.
Hey, the score most of the time was that sort of 80s Terminator synth, and you know, it was used pretty good effect, but there were a couple of times where there are these terrible like adult contemporary songs, like like when the scene earlier in the movie when she's in the home office there with the assistant, like I don't know what shitty song they were playing, but it felt so out of place in this movie.
Right. So then Mark goes back to the shed. And Faith is alive. And Faith escapes, but then Mark catches her and brings her back to the shed. So then later, Mark is doing the dishes. Leah comes in, and Mark's like, "Guess what, Leah? I made you a doctor's appointment for your sleeping pills."
And hey, there's eggs. There's eggs. It didn't look so good either. He was making some scrambled eggs. That looked like when you have like something was like left over in the pan that you should have cleaned out. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Okay,
so then Leah decides that she's going to go snooping and get to the bottom of this. So she goes to the insane asylum. She talks her way in. Like the receptionist is giving her attitude, but she like kind of sneaks in. The doctor, who loved gossip,
oh yeah.
Everyone at that facility liked to gossip, as we find out later, but the doctor was the first to like just start spilling.
Right. Because the doctor's like, "Well, I shouldn't tell you this," but
the doctor said that so multiple times. The doctor's like, "I've said too much, let me tell you more. I've said too much, let me tell you more."
This was so out of line that the actress should get sued. I mean, ooh, she should be disbarred.
That's sort of campaign.
So then we find out because Faith, Leah's like, "Well, you know, Faith is crazy." And the doctor's like, "No, Faith isn't crazy. Faith is suffering from PTSD from her ex-boyfriend."
Could never be able to say this.
No.
This is kind of lazy writing in a way. Like, this is how, because nobody would ever get information like this. This is totally out of line.
Well, no doctor would ever start dishing to a complete stranger.
I mean, it was lazy enough that the doctor just happened to be in the lobby when Leah got there and was asking for the doctor. Like, you know, she could have gotten this information in way more sneaky ways that Les would have loved.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Mark, and he's angrily eating cheesecake.
Mm.
And then he's doing like a tasting.
Yeah.
But he's mad because Leah didn't show up to the tasting.
No, it's his fault she didn't show up to the tasting. he set up her doctor's appointment with Dr. Buchwald to get the sleeping pills and told her, you're going to have to miss the tasting for this.
Oh. So he is at this tasting and he is just pitching a fit.
Oh, he is full Karen.
Yeah.
He's yelling. And he is full Karen. Mm-hmm.
He's full Karen.
Yeah.
and then like they, and it was a tasting. So they bring out a bunch of different things. So one of the tasting items had pine nuts on it. And he's like, does this have pine nuts? And he starts flipping out in the middle of the restaurant because Leah's allergic to pine nuts. And then he's like, she can go into anaphylactic shock. And he is just throwing down in the middle of this restaurant. Mm-hmm.
Which, and if that were true, if Leah were in fact allergic to nuts, and they had told that to the restaurant, which Mark claims that he did, and they still made a dish to sample at the food tasting for her wedding that included nuts, Mark in that moment is 1,000% justified to be flipping out.
Yeah,
but he like
well, and the dish before that, he said the chicken wasn't even cooked all the way through. So it is possible in this universe where Mark is a lunatic, this restaurant could also be bad at their job. It's possible those two things could too. Yeah,
it's not difficult to cook chicken all the way through.
No, especially if you're a restaurant.
Yeah, right. If you cater,
yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I'd be like, look, I can't hire you people.
Now, if Mark's reaction escalated to him then murdering this poor waiter, yes, that would not be justified in this moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we cut back to the insane asylum, and the doctor is once again trying to be cagey. But then she's like, well, I shouldn't tell you this, but Faith might be in danger.
It's like a drinking game. It's totally a drinking game for the people in this office that every time they say they shouldn't give out information and then do give out that confidential information, they all take a shot.
Right.
I shouldn't tell you this, but I have some information about some of my other patients I'd like to share too.
Yeah.
So then and then to then
her brother, was her, like, weird, her weird brother pops by.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Leah's like to the doctor. Thanks, wait, brother. let me guess. Her boyfriend's name is Brian, right? And then the doctor's like, yeah. So then, but the doctor has ethics because then Leah's like, well, hey, do you have a picture? And then the doctor's like, oh no, I can't do that.
I thought the doctor for a second, I thought the doctor deliberately stepped out of the room so that Leah could look in the file. I thought the doctor is basically like, ethically, I can't do this, but morally, I feel like you need to know what's going on. So I'm going to step out of the room so you can snoop through the file and I'll pretend like I didn't know it happened. That's what I thought happened here, but it did not.
It was funny. Well, because she wanted to help her, but like as a doctor, you can't.
Yeah, like I need to help you because I feel like you're in danger, but in terms of my license, I really shouldn't be doing this.
Well, that's true. She shouldn't be doing it.
So she's sitting in the office, and then I was like, okay, girl, lift it, lift it, lift it, lift it, lift it. And she did. I'm very proud of her. And so she looks in the file, then Faith shows up at the office, and she faints. And so then Faith goes to the hospital.
Faith escaped being kidnapped by Mark and poisoned, and the first place she went to was her psychiatrist's office and not the police.
Well, she isn't dealing with a full deck either, though.
Well, I guess.
So then Faith...
Well, maybe once again she was in the... Okay, never mind.
So then Faith's brother shows up. And
this is the brother, yeah.
And it's Raul from The Young and the Restless.
Sure. He looked like Anton LaVey, the guy who wrote the Satanic Bible. Like if Anton LaVey had hair.
Yeah, he didn't. He was cuter before. He didn't age too well. And so then, so then he's upset. So then Brian / Mark shows up. The nurses are downstairs gossiping. He hears them gossiping, and that's how he finds out where Faith is.
Well, the nurse at the beginning of the movie that was withholding information and wasn't going to let Leah have it, she's gossiping with the security guard. It was cute, by the way.
Cute, very cute security guard.
He's very cute.
These healthcare facilities, they don't keep a tight lid on things.
No.
Well, and the security guard was cute until, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. So then the security guard, like, goes to the candy machine. And while he's at the candy machine, Mark / Brian goes into Faith's room. And he kills her. And so after he kills her, he walks out of the hospital room. And the security guard gives a park ranger type line.
That's not possible. This trail's been closed for 8 years. It's extremely dangerous.
And it literally was like that. So now,
was Faith actually killed by him? Like, they gave that impression, but they never actually said that she died. We never see her again in the movie, but, you know, certainly a lot of times in these movies, people you think are dead are not.
And he kept on saying, "You will not die." Like, he's like, "You keep on coming back. I keep on trying to kill you."
Yeah.
And he just won't. He's like, "You just won't die. I'm trying." So then Leah and Priya basically figure out that Faith is telling the truth. And so Leah and Priya go back to the house. And Leah's like, okay, I got some snooping to do. And not only, I was so proud of her, because not only did she snoop, she like figured out the code. Because I don't think that she knew what the code she to didn't the safe even, was.
This was absurd to me that she didn't know that there was a safe in the closet that she shared with her fiancé.
And there was only one box in front of it. Yeah, it like, wasn't like it was hidden.
Like, how did she... Like, why do you hide a safe? The whole point of the safe is that it's safe. It's behind lock... You know, the lock.
Right. So then she opens up the safe.
She figured out the code immediately. One try. Oh, let me try the numeric spelling of the name Brian.
Well, he wasn't the smartest bulb in the, you know. There are certain people who I know who I bet I could figure out their password.
On one try, though, your first try would have been that name that you didn't know that they had until 5 minutes earlier in the movie.
There are a couple of people.
Mark Brian, he does say, Mark and Brian, he does say at one point, I think that he's like, well, I wanted you to find it, or maybe I wanted you to find it. Does he say that?
He does, and that never made sense to me.
Oh, so then she finds his ID, so she finds out his name is Brian. She finds his passport and his driver's license, and it says Brian. So Priya was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to call the police, and then we're going to call the police. And then, okay, this is funny, but then the police called her.
Mm-hmm.
And the police are like, well, okay, we know something dangerous is going down. I want you to get out of there, and I want you to go to a secure location.
Oh, no, it's someone with an accent. It was calling from Louisiana.
Right. But then we find out he wasn't calling from Louisiana. He was calling from down the street because it was Mark who called.
Well, the secure location that they tell Leah to go to is the wedding venue.
Right.
Oh, we want you to get out of there and immediately go to your wedding. Instead of like, you should go to the police station.
Right. There's go to the police station and hang out until we're done.
Yeah.
And they just bought this.
So they go to the wedding venue, Leah pulls a dumb move and goes inside of the venue by herself as Priya is outside.
What an asshole she was to Priya in that moment, by the way. Because Priya was kind of freaking out because there was nobody else there. It was, you know, ghost town at this giant mansion, no other cars. It's really quiet. And Priya's like, I don't know if we should go in. And Lee's like, nah, I'm going in. You stay here and keep watch.
Right. You stay outside.
You're really afraid to be out here all by yourself, but I'm going to leave you outside all by yourself. Bye.
And so then Leah goes snooping. Then Mark shows up. He knocks Priya out because Priya was outside by herself in the open. And so then Mark starts doing the Lifetime villain monologue. You know, I would have gotten away with this if it wasn't for you. Because he kept repeating himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he would be like, you, Leah. That, and so and at first I thought it was my TV. And then I realized, oh no, they're trying to do something funky with this. So, but then Leah was not going to go down without a fight. So she fights back. And Mark still is repeating. And Leah's fighting. And all of a sudden, she remembers that she has her mace.
Mm-hmm.
So she brings out her mace. And that wasn't enough. And then she brings out the personalized rock climbing things that she has.
Yeah, the gift.
And then she stabbed him with those.
Yeah, she basically used it like brass knuckles, basically, and just hit him with those around her fingers, I think.
And then he was going to shoot her. He was getting her. But then Priya comes in and saves the day.
Hit some of the pot.
And then did your movie just end?
Yeah, it just ended.
Yeah. The ending was terrible. It basically, like, Priya hits him, Leah... Oh, at one point, Leah kneed him in the balls, but I think that was earlier. Yeah, Priya grabs the vase, Mark pulls the gun, Priya hits him. That was the end of the movie. They're showing credits to the next movie. They don't even have the cops show. There was no resolution to anything. We don't find out, is Faith still alive?
And I was like, wait a minute. There's no 1 month later? Right.
I think I get the impression this movie was an acquisition. It was something that was made for something else in Lifetime's like, oh, that kind of fits into what we do. They renamed it, but they didn't, because there was no cold open in this movie. And the hidden cameras actually were hidden, and there was no epilogue at the end showing like where these characters end up.
Right, and no 1 month later, which is my favorite.
Right.
And the person's like in an insane asylum, or they show up at someone else's house. Like, yeah. Hi,
yeah, I'm like your date. Like now, Brian Mark is suddenly Seth, and you know, and living in like Napa Valley, and he's got a new fiance.
And he's like, you know, she's like, oh, Seth, you're so good to me. And he's like, you don't even know.
No. And on their shed, Faith is still sleeping away. Yeah, this is like one of those old Jackie Chan movies, like Super Cop, where it just ends. It's done. That's it. The end.
So it wasn't the best movie, but I didn't mind it.
Same.
Yeah, I guess.
Like it was a good palate cleanser to get us back into the groove.
It was a warm up.
It held my attention, and it was certainly better than that terrible movie we watched last week.
And at least, you know, Leah made some dumb mistakes, but she wasn't dumb. I liked that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, there's stupid. Yeah, I guess so.
You know,
there were stupid things that happened.
And, like, the fact that, like, she immediately got suspicious of her boyfriend and it didn't take, like, half of the movie to convince her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, another reason that you know this wasn't – or that it seems like this wasn't made directly for Lifetime is the hot boyfriend, you never see him shirtless.
True.
Lifetime's good about that.
Like, you never see him in the shower.
Lifetime normally is really good at showing you some gratuitous male skin. They did not do that in this movie.
Right. Okay, you're right. You're right. Because normally they have just the guy for no reason decide in the middle of the day, you know, I'm going to take a shower.
Yeah.
And he takes his shirt off. Mm-hmm.
So what was this movie originally made for then? It wasn't like theatrical release.
Probably intended to be theatrical. There's a lot of movies that are made in with the intention of going theatrical, even if they make a small amount of money, and then they just end up getting bought and used in different ways. Like Lifetime did it with that movie last year that we watched, the one with the photographer.
Right.
Oh, right.
With the teenage boy. Yeah.
Yeah, and think of it this way too, Kurt. There are a lot of delusional people in this town that think that the movie that they're making is actually good and ready for the theater.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, even if they got it sold, even if they got their movie sold to Lifetime,
they made money. Oh, that's the goal. They made money, and people are seeing the movie. That's all they care about at the end.
You couldn't have thought that was going to, you know. Okay. Well, interesting.
Anywho, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you can find me at my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com. Jason.
You can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
You can check out my website, KurtFitzpatrick.com. It's Kurt with a K. And the Kurt Fitzpatrick Made It This Far holiday special is still available for viewing. You can find that on Fringe Livestream on Facebook. And I'll put a link to it on my website as well.
And I'm guessing, Les, you want to talk about your other podcasts.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Jason. I actually have a couple of other podcasts if you're interested. If you are a fan of reality stars, especially people on the Bravo channel, I have a podcast called The Reality Reading Rainbow, where I read books written by reality stars and try to make sense of them. This week, I am reading Erica Jane's book, Pretty Mess. Erica Jane from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who is currently about to go to trial for embezzling money. And if you're a fan of soap operas, I have another podcast called Soap Opera Love in the Afternoon, where I talk about your favorite soap operas in the United States and the United Kingdom. And
also, people should rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Give us 5 stars, please.
Yes, please. And I think that's it. So I will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.